statewide consumer protection legislation that guarantees availability of ebooks in public libraries. If that sounds like a good idea, there's a catch. Any such laws would likely run afoul of national copyright regulation, and it all comes down to digital. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. My name is Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. In Connecticut this week, a report arrived from the State House that examines the challenges ebooks pose for public libraries and the possible concerns for the public good. Not surprisingly, the chief issues are price and ownership. Joining me with more on this and other news from the library community is Andrew Albanese, senior writer for Publishers Weekly. And Andrew, welcome back.
Hey there, Chris.
Well, it's good to have you join us. You do every Friday. And last week you were telling us about one library conference, and here you are ready to roll out for another one. So what's going on?
Yeah, that's right. And in March, we're going to be heading off to the Public Library Association meeting in Indianapolis. And in Monday's issue, we're going to have a preview of that meeting. And I'm actually really looking forward to this meeting, even though it's one of three major library conferences that I'll be going to in the first 6 months of the year, because it has a really great lineup of authors this year, including Ann Patchett, who just gave an amazing book talk at the ALA Annual in Chicago last year. So I'm really looking forward to that again. And a closing session with David Sudaris, who I think is one of the funniest writers out there. So I'm really looking to hearing what he has to say. On the professional side, we have a piece in Monday's issue looking at the trends in children's publishing, which is very important to the public library community. And this includes the rollout of the Common Core and all that has wrought for public librarians. And also a look at the challenges of public library management. You know, there's been a lot of optimism, I think, in recent months for libraries. But that said, you know, this week we've had a bit of a back-to-earth moment. We had some sobering news out of New York City where the mayor has proposed about a 5% budget cut to library funding there. And now that funding is likely to be restored. This kind of happens often in New York City. But still, it's another sign that, you know, at best, we can expect New York library funding to remain flat. And I think it's overall a reminder that libraries still face a very tough physical and fiscal environment out there. And as always, you're going to have to find ways to do more with less.
Right, indeed. And you know, on that score, you report this week that the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection has come out with its own report on the state of the library ebook market. And tell us what they found and what they recommended or maybe didn't recommend.
Yeah, that's right. You mentioned that the Connecticut Department of Consumer Protection issued a 21-page report that urged lawmakers to more or less take a wait-and-see approach to the library ebook market in the state. Although the department acknowledged that a law mandating the terms and conditions under which publishers would have to deal with libraries was an option, the report ultimately did not recommend pursuing any kind of law or legal fix at this time. So, you know, first a little background on this. The report was initiated after Connecticut Governor Daniel Malloy last summer approved a special act to provide for the study, which was supposed to be regarding the availability of electronic books to public library users in the state. Over the last 6 months, the department saw a wide range of input, they say, and this included libraries and publishers and distributors. And I know they did quite a bit of reading on the subject. The state of library ebooks is not an easy subject to get your head around. You know, we've discussed it quite a bit on this program. So to pull it together in 21 pages, I think they did an admirable job for the most part. Overall, the report captures the major ups and downs of the library ebook market. And it concludes that, you know, the market is generally moving in a positive direction, although it acknowledges ongoing concerns, saying that two areas remain, and I'll quote, dismal, and that's price and ownership. In particular, it notes that since ebooks are licensed to access products, any potential state legislation would be tricky to harmonize with federal copyright laws. And that's certainly true. You know, there is no digital first sale, so copyrighted works in the digital realm can be restricted through license agreements in ways that printed books cannot be. So that is a challenge for libraries, and they're right to point that out. You know, it also noted that in the current market, ebooks are generally accessed through intermediaries such as OverDrive and 3M. These all manage the library ebook lending process, and those services cost money. So a bigger portion every year of already limited library funding is going to go to these services and not to materials. So that also is a pretty big issue and rightly noted in the report. So, you know, what does the report recommend? Well, this is where things got a little curious for me. It recommended, one, investing in a state-run ebook distribution platform, or two, increasing funds to libraries to cover expenses of maintaining ebook collections, or three, doing nothing at all and just watching how all these trends play out. You know, and if you look at those options, well, you've got number one, you know, creating your own ebook platform. Well, we have a ton of ebook platforms out there already, and that's kind of the problem. So really, do we need another one? Do we need a state-run one at that? You know, I don't think that's really a solution. Two, more money for ebooks, for libraries. Hey, that sounds great. You know, go with God. If you can get that done, I think we'd all love to see that. Or three, doing nothing at all. You know, and as a cynical, non-jaded political observer, gee, I wonder which option the legislature is going to choose here. Spend money and build a new system, or spend more money on libraries, or do nothing and wait and see what happens. You know, it seems like tailor-made for number three for the legislature. And one final point I'll bring up about this, too, is that some of our listeners may recall that Connecticut was among the first states to jump in and investigate publishers over the switch to agency. And, you know, that investigation soon became the Apple litigation. But in the case of library ebooks, the state has found this reserve of patience and restraint that it did not possess when it came to consumer ebook purchasing. So I do find that kind of interesting, too.
Well, oh, wait a minute. I guess it's not that surprising for the author of The Battle of 999 to bring up the Apple litigation.
And it all comes back to Apple.
There you go again. And this week, more news from the courtroom in that particular case. A minor development as you see it, but one with major implications.
Absolutely. I think that's the exact right way to frame this. So, you know, we reported this week that Apple did get its first crack at the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, and it did not go well for them. No surprise, actually, if you've been following the coverage. In a brief order this week, a three-judge panel of the Second Circuit denied Apple a stay of Judge Denise Code's external monitor provision. Now, there's been a great deal of what I'll say is misreporting about what the Second Circuit actually did here, which I think is important to clarify. The Second Circuit did not narrow or better define the monitor order, and that's generally what a lot of the coverage has been saying out there. A lot of outlets reported that, at least. The order is, in fact, untouched, and the court did not make any order about what or, you know, the order actually says. What happened was that the DOJ went before the Second Circuit and said, this is what we think the order says, what it's always said, and despite what Apple is claiming, it's a narrow order, and we view it as a narrow order. And the Second Circuit merely said, we agree with your interpretation. Now, this is important because, remember, Apple had accused the external monitor of conducting this roving investigation and questioned his impartiality and his fees, and had claimed that his conduct, which included requesting interviews with Apple board members, was overly prosecutorial and burdensome. The DOJ, on the other hand, has always said that these complaints were manufactured and were an effort to delay the monitor while the appeal of Judge Code's verdict in the case wound its way through the Second Circuit. And in their ruling, the Second Circuit made it pretty much abundantly clear that this kind of was a case that did not need to be before them. You know, they acknowledged that there was a disagreement over what the court order said. But I think all in all, Apple's first impression before the Second Circuit with this was not a good one. This was kind of a slam dunk for them. There really was no dispute here, and it really didn't need to get as far as it did. And if people were looking at this appeal as sort of a bellwether as to how the Second Circuit might view court's order and how they might actually view Apple coming to this, I mean, I think that the first impression was not a terribly good one.
Indeed. So strike one against Apple.
Strike one against Apple, indeed.
Well, thank you, Andrew. As always, Andrew Albanese joins us on Friday for a regular look at the business of book publishing. And Andrew Albanese, we look forward to having you back next week.
My pleasure, as always.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global rights broker for the world's most sought-after materials, including millions of books and ebooks, journals, newspapers, magazines, and blogs, as well as images, movies, and television shows. You can follow us on Twitter, find Beyond the Book on Facebook, and subscribe to the free podcast series on iTunes or at beyondthebook.com. Our engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. My name is Christopher Keneally. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, thanks for listening to Beyond the Book.
Thank you.